From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Back with you with more podcasting fun. I am Dale Carter, and he is Kurt Wheeler. And today, I am repping one of our sponsors and my dear friend, Bob Watson at State Farm. I got the red on, got the logo on. I'm ready to go because Bob Watson is more than a friend of mine. He's been my State Farm agent for nearly 30 years, and he's basically taken me through four kids and their driving, and now a stepson who's going to be driving soon. I hope Bob didn't hear that because he might have sprouted another gray hair. But they do take care of you with surprisingly great rates. Make sure you get a rate check on everything you have insurance on, and maybe some things that are happening in your life that you need insurance for. Bob Watson State Farm can take care of you at 816-229-7878. Don't worry that he's officed in Blue Springs, Missouri, because he can rep you on both sides of State Line Road, licensed in both states, auto, home, life, commercial insurance. Bob Watson is the guy to call, 816-229-7878. So here we are, Kurt. It's the heat dome. Everything's got to have a name now, you know?
Yeah.
It's the heat dome. And we're going to have a really hot week in Kansas City.
Yeah.
My God, it's August.
Yeah. I was at the air show on Saturday, which was fantastic, by the way, but it was like 103 degrees out. We took one of the tents from the radio station, which helped a little bit, but it's like, man, it was brutal.
Well, I was at Billy Joel Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium, and it was really, really hot. Yeah. But it gets hot in Kansas City in August. Mm-hmm. It gets cold in Kansas City in January. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many electric cars you people buy. And I wanted a couple of things here before we get into the meat of the matter here. Just to how dishonest our wire service is at KFKF. It's written by the fine folks at NBC. And I've talked about this before on the podcast. But here's one tell that they have. And the guy who runs it, he said, man, we keep it right down the middle. And if you think we're ever out of line or leaning to the left, please let me know and we'll deal with it.
So it's like every day Dale's sending emails.
Screw it. I'm not going to do that anymore. But here's the first tell. At 8:30 Central Time, the market's open, right?
Yeah.
And I can always tell whether it's a good day on Wall Street or a bad day, because with Joe Biden in the White House, NBC Radio is doing everything they can to cover this guy. So if it's a great day on Wall Street at 8:31 Central Time, you get it'll run across the wire, stocks open. And then you click on it, stocks open dramatically higher today, blah, 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 blah. Now, if it's a lousy day on Wall Street, which they have, it's also a tell, because by 8:40 Central Time, we still don't have the stock market opening. And I can just see them in their little offices, Kurt. They're like, how do we spin this one? It's like down. Whose fault is it? Is it Putin's fault? Is it global warming? I don't know whose fault it is.
It's usually Putin. I think Putin's a good, you know,
and then they release it.
Yeah.
So then there is this. I saw a story move on the wire. It says, U.S. consumers bought nearly 300,000 new battery electric vehicles in the second quarter, setting a new record. And so, of course, the curious person in me, Kurt, goes, well, how many cars were sold in the second quarter? 300,000 were EVs, right?
Mm-hmm.
14.1 million were sold.
Wow.
Of which 300,000 were EVs. Now, God love you. If you want to buy an electric car because you think they're cool and all that, buy an electric car. But if you really think that by buying an electric car, it's not going to be hot in Kansas City in August anymore, that you're going to have fixed the climate, I wonder, the question I want to ask these people, Kurt, is what the hell is your end game, right? What do you think is going to happen? Let's say everybody in America was driving an electric car. What do you think would happen? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to lower the temperature by a degree or two? Do they really think they can do that?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, you know, because it's virtue signaling. I mean, we talk about it all the time. But like, what is the actual end goal? What is the difference that you think you're going to make?
Exactly.
And it's also, you know, people need to be honest about where the issue is coming from. Because I'm open to the idea that, you know, pollution is a problem and we should be good stewards of the earth and things like that. I mean, I'm a conservationist. I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoorsman. You know, it's something we take very seriously. But the other conversation that we're also not having is like, who are the real culprits here? You know, if you look at pollution, if you look at who's putting all the plastic straws in the water that go into the turtles' noses. It's not us. It's China. It's India. You know, it's other countries. So when are we going to start holding them accountable? If we are really serious about this huge issue of climate change, you know, what are we really going to do about it? And who's really responsible?
Well, and I'm with you. I don't want a dirty planet. I don't want dirty air. And the question I always fire back to these people is the air in the United States cleaner today than it was, you know, turn of the century? Is it cleaner than it was in the 1920s, 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s? I mean, are we getting better? Are we getting smarter about what we're putting into the air? And I think the answer to that is yes.
Unequivocally, yes.
We've gotten a lot dumber in terms of what we're doing now because we have politicians like Washington Governor Jay Inslee who says climate change is to blame for wildfires that have destroyed at least 200 homes near Spokane. So if you would just drive your damn electric cars, we would stop having forest fires.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it's a guilt trip. It's a guilt trip.
Lahaina would still be in one piece today if you people would drive your damn electric cars.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real sad. It's real sad. But, I mean, I think obviously people see through because they're not buying as many electric cars as you know, the powers that be would like us to. 300,000 is a lot, but it's not 14 million.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is they've got the government's got their hand on the scale, as you know, because they're providing subsidies for you buying these electric cars, which makes them more competitive with gas-powered cars. You take that subsidy away, guess what? They're a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And the auto workers, here's something else that's on the horizon. Auto workers are about to go on strike because their leadership basically has sold them down the river. If you're building one of these EVs, guess what? You're making less money on the line than they're making building the gas-powered cars. And what the union's trying to say is the government needs to make up the difference for our workers. It's not about profit sharing anymore for unions. It's about what can we get from the government?
Yeah.
Everybody's got their hand out for the government.
Yep, always.
Okay, so that was my little rant here before we even get into the meat of what the podcast is about today. Quick update on Truman County. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but there's a story that's brewing on the local television media. It won't be in the Star because the Star is in the bag for the Democrats, but the TV media is playing it fair. And apparently, this whole assessment debacle, there are a number of homes that all have magically assessed for the exact figure of $356,270. Over 500 so far have been uncovered, varying degrees of how much the house is worth. In some cases, people bought these houses for less than $100,000, and they have magically assessed for $356,270.
That's so crazy.
You can't make that up.
Yeah.
So here's why, you know, because you've got an assessor in Jackson County. They are so corrupt. This is why I want to really feel strongly about taking the eastern suburbs and basically anything out of Kansas City and setting up our own county. And trust me, we're still working on that. You'll hear more about it in the days and weeks to come. But once we do that and we establish Truman County as the newest county in the state of Missouri, we're going to have a charter commission. That's how this thing's going to work. And we will set up our own constitution. And one thing I'll feel very strongly about is the assessor should not be an appointed position, should be an elected position responsible to the voters. Because you've got, you know, some political hack downtown in Kansas City who's doing all this. And it's like spin the wheel of assessments.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do agree. I think that's a position that should be accountable. You know, if it's somebody that determines the value of your property, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And to me, the 356,270, it just seems like pressing the easy button, which is probably not the move at a time when everyone is actually scrutinizing what you're doing and paying more attention.
Well,
you know,
the statute of limitations is long past on this, so I think I can talk about this openly, especially with Hunter Biden now, you know, showing us that if you could just wait out the statute of limitations, you can pretty much do anything you want. But back in the day when I worked for CBS, I had an H&R Block tax preparer named John Cronister in Blue Springs. Love John. John did my taxes for years and years until he retired. He was one of the worst singers in the world, but he would always give me CDs and say, I'm gonna put out this CD. What do you think? And one time, Mary and I actually played it on the air, and it was so horrible. But, you know, it was so horrible, it was funny. But I love you, John. So when John did my taxes, I didn't have a whole lot of records, right? Mm-hmm. And he would just say, let's make it up. You know, you got a deductible home office there, which I don't take anymore and haven't since the statute of limitations. How big is it? And I'm like, 500 square feet. And he's like, not big enough. We got to double it. 1,000 square feet. And then he told me a little trick. He said, whenever you do your deductions, just round it up to some odd figure. You know, don't do an even number because that would be a red flag. Don't do an even number. So they're smart enough to do that in Jackson County because $356,270 seems like a fairly random number.
Yeah, like not $360,000 or $350,000. $356,270.
I'd love to hear from folks who got that as their number. So yeah. If you did, reach out to us here on the podcast. In fact, tell the folks how they can get a hold of us and all the ways that they can get Dale Carter's America and share it with their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it says that dollar amount was used to assess more than 500 homes. So of those 500 homes, at least one of them has to be a Dale Carter's America listener, right? So
by the odds. Sure.
Reach out to us. So you can find us if you're watching this, hopefully in video form or on YouTube and Rumble. We play a lot of video clips, and of course, you want to see our beautiful faces. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe, like, comment, share with your friends. Any liking, commenting, subscribing really helps the algorithm, especially on YouTube, so we really appreciate that. And then you can also follow us on Facebook, where we recently got over 3,000 followers, and have our engagement's been doing really well, and we appreciate everyone for joining in the conversation on Facebook. And many more places to come.
Spread the word, because what we're dealing in here is common sense. Just common sense, which is so uncommon in America right now. And doing something that the mainstream media will not do. We're asking questions. It's like, don't just take the horse shit that they're shoveling at you. Ask a question. You know, electric cars. What difference are they going to make? I mean, really, should we be doing this? Or is it more of a, I think I want to try that out. Good luck to you charging it. I was just talking to some people out in the lobby about that. And, now you go to Quick Trip to fill up your gas tank. It's about a five-minute procedure, right?
Yeah.
If you run in and get a drink. Charging? Good luck to you. Take a book, because you're going to be there for a while. All right, if you're turning 65 soon, or you know someone who is, this is very important information. Kirk Doris and MedicareSimplifiedKC.com want to talk to you because you have no idea the tangled web you're about to go into. If you're a listener of this podcast, perhaps you do, because we talk a lot about the tangled web and the multi-headed hydra that is our government, not just Democrats. I'm talking Republicans and Democrats. Washington is clearly a swamp, and Donald Trump didn't get to drain the whole thing in his first 4 years. Who knows what's to come? But what's coming at you is a complicated puzzle that you're going to have to put together, either for yourself or for someone you love who's turning 65. A full-service Medicare insurance brokerage. That's what Medicare Simplified KC is. You can reach them today at 816-701-6661. 816-701-6661. Don't say yes to whatever plan the government's throwing at you until you talk to Kirk Doris and find out what plan you need to be taking, all right? What supplements are out there to fill the holes, because there are holes in Medicare. In-home appointments are available. Kirk and his team will come talk to you and help you do what thousands of other folks have done here in Kansas City, and that is navigate this web that is Medicare. So it's MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Or in Independence there at 3600 South Nolan Road. You can reach them at 816-701-6661. Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs, Jim Dingman's place. And he's always got fun things going on there. We've got another football season coming up. Jim always does drawings for tickets. He buys the best seats in the house at Arrowhead, and he never goes. So he generally puts those up for drawing there at Funhouse Pizzas. You can see something going on there. Jim is also like chomping at the bit. He messages me about once a week, Kirk. He's like, what are we going to do here? What are we doing? What are we doing on Truman County? I want to be involved in it. I want to have a rally at my place. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're definitely going to do some stuff at his place. Just keep watching for that for the next live event of Dale Carter's America, the podcast. It will probably be, we were in Lee's Summit last?
Yeah.
Okay, so Blue Springs will probably be next. 50 Highway or 7 Highway in Blue Springs. He's also 50 Highway in Lee Summit. Great pizza, great gathering place for you, your friends, and family. And in a safe zone in Lee Summit in Blue Springs. Big cities, big problems. Crime in America's cities continues. And, you know, that's another thing about the coming Truman County. See, in my head, we've already done this.
Yeah,
it's already been born.
Got to speak it into existence.
We're going to have a prosecutor who will prosecute crime. And again, this is common sense stuff. When did this become radical thinking in America that we would have a prosecutor who would prosecute crime? And all you have to do is look at the big cities and see that everything that they have tried to do, they've accomplished it in the big cities. Okay? You've got prosecutors who won't prosecute, criminals who are treated better than the victims in these deals, and it's the cities are on fire. People are smashing and grabbing and killing and looting. It is so bad in San Francisco. This is the home of Nancy Pelosi that she even has her own federal building. Have been told to stay home.
You can talk over this.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was going to be a voicer or not.
No, it's just a video.
But look at San Francisco. If you're this is why we want you to watch this on YouTube or Rumble, because the things that we are showing you, they're real. You can't make this stuff up. San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in America. You know, if you're a Star Trek fan like I am, are you a Star Trek fan, Kurt?
Not particularly.
No. Well, the future, you know, of the world basically is centered in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The Federation capital is San Francisco, and it's an open sewer.
Yeah, I mean, you could pretty much insert almost any city in there. I mean, Philadelphia has gotten really, really bad.
Yeah.
And that's where I grew up, not in the city, but in the suburbs. And there's videos. I mean, it looks like a third world country. It looks like a bomb went off. And then there's people walking around like zombies on who knows what. You know, people that need legitimate medical help need to be institutionalized. And instead, they're just out on the streets scaring away all the business owners. So.
And in Los Angeles, you had a flash mob strike again, brazenly robbing a store of hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise. The video he's going to show you, this happened in the United States.
Yep, here we go.
Look at this. They're just walking in there. They're running through. They're smashing cases. They're grabbing as much stuff as they can. And you know what security's been told here in these situations? Don't get in the way. Don't try and stop them. Let them take whatever they want. And they're doing it.
Well, I mean, you've had multiple cases where the people who actually try and intervene and stop the crimes are getting prosecuted. There was that viral video. I don't know if we showed it on the podcast or not. I think it was in California, maybe Washington, where there was a guy who was shoving a bunch of cigarettes into a trash bag. And then the store owner came out with like a broom handle and started like, and he got him on the ground and just
beating
him with a broom handle.
And that guy was in trouble.
The store owner is being prosecuted. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't get in their way. Don't try and stop them. No, just let them do whatever they want to do. And you know what? We'll give them a ticket.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll show up. They probably won't. But
I mean, how would you even find them? It's all people dressed in all black with masks over their face. How are you going to find these people?
And in Chicago, one of my favorite cities in America, I love Chicago. I haven't been in a long time because it's like, I'm not sure that I feel safe in Chicago. But I grew up a diehard Cub fan. I would love to fly into, Midway Airport, take the L up to Wrigley Field, watch a game, eat dinner at my favorite restaurant, and fly home the same day. There's just so much to see and do in Chicago. But the gang warfare that's going on there, now you've got a group in Chicago that's put up the white flag. What they're asking for is, we know you're going to shoot up the place. Will you cease fire between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. so fewer children get killed? Can we have a ceasefire? You can blow everybody out of the water from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., but, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., will you please stop?
Yeah, that is a white flag, isn't it?
And now, you know, the Pharaoh, as we call him, Quentin Lucas I of Kansas City, remember when he won re-election and in his inaugural speech, he said he's really going to button down crime here. He's going to take a bite out of crime, like McGruff the crime dog or whatever.
This is really telling, this quote. I have a little screenshot from the article pulled up if you're watching on video. I guess Atkins, this person, is from the group in question. Ideally, people would never shoot guns in Chicago, but that's not a realistic possibility, Atkins acknowledged. Not everyone is willing to drop their beef, she said. If you aren't mentally and emotionally equipped to solve disputes in a healthy manner, if you can't help but harm each other, do so in a capacity in which children, elderly, and those not involved in high-risk activities are less likely to be affected.
Can you hear this now? They probably will have vehicles driving through these neighborhoods with, like, loudspeakers on. This is a ceasefire time.
Yeah, yeah.
No firing from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., followed, of course, by gunfire, right?
Yeah. Or it's like Wayne's World. Have you seen Wayne's World?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're playing hockey in the street, and it's like, car! And everyone stops and moves to the side, and then the car passes. Game on!
All right. Well, okay, so the Pharaoh here in Kansas City, you know, he's going to take a bite out of crime. And the first real thing on this was trying to identify the high crime areas in Kansas City. Now, I could help him with this, right? We could get like a big map and some push pins or whatever. And what we've talked about on the podcast is the problem area, if you really want to think about it, is bordered by I-70 on the north, 435 on the east, Brush Creek on the south, and 71 Highway on the west. I mean, if they do something about that area, trust me, those residents would love it if you would stop the crime there. And here's an idea. Gene Peters Baker, we're talking to you. Prosecute these people who commit crimes with guns. Prosecute them. Stop turnstiling them back out on the street, because the Kansas City cops, they're tired of your bullshit.
Yeah.
They are tired of arresting the same people over and over and over again, because it's what they're doing.
Well, they're trying to identify crime, problem areas. I got a hint for you. It's really easy. Just go to Google and search Kansas City crime map, and you can find where the crime is happening.
Yeah.
The work has been done. Good news.
And it's always the gun. We have a new sponsor, Clay Como Shooters, and we're going to get to them here in a moment with their actual commercial. But my former partner, Mary McKenna, and I love Mary, when we work together, she's a little left of center. Her husband is left. So far, he's left America, right? Mm. And she doesn't have me to center her anymore, so now all she has is him. So she sent me this video, and it's kind of a funny video. We don't have to watch the whole thing. I think you'll get the point of it pretty quick here. It's about the NRA versus the military, because that's how the left sees this, right? Joe Biden, how many times has he said, oh, you want to take on the government? Well, you better get an F-16. Well, we can't have an F-16. You gave them all to Ukraine. But that's another story that we'll get to down the road here. But this is a video that my former partner, Mary, sent me. We can chuckle about it, and then I'll blow it out of the water.
Right, which is why I'm proposing we test their theory and once a year have a head-to-head showdown. Say 100 members of the NRA versus, I don't know, 2 members of the military. Broadcasted on Fox Christmas Day. Like, Merry Christmas and welcome to the 2022 NRA Military Showdown. Let's go down to the field of battle, meet one of our NRA combatants. Sir, what's your name? What kind of weapon do you work with? And he's like, my name's Andy Baker, and I got an AR-15 wearing Kevlar head to toe. Andy, how confident are you, scale of 1 to 10? Fucking a million. We're going to check in with the military real quick, and they cut to one guy by himself in a bunker, and he's like, my name's Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Walker. And they're like, Jeremiah, what kind of weapon do you work with? And he's like, look, I don't know if this is fair, but I'm working with a drone. Yeah, it's equipped with 8 Hellfire missiles and a high-powered camera. As you can see on this monitor here, the NRA fellas are actually in just one big cluster. So I'm gonna. We started, all right. So I'm gonna hit this button right here. Yeah, now they're all dead.
Okay, so that's funny. We can chuckle along with it. But here's my question for you. How many NRA folks are doing smash and grabs in L.A.? How many are doing mass shootings in Memphis? How many are the subject that we need to have a ceasefire in Chicago from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.? How many of those are NRA folks?
Like zero, yeah. Approximately?
So what we're talking about here is armed communities where prosecutors won't prosecute crime. And guess what happens? When you don't prosecute crime, there's a lot more of it. And it gets more and more violent to where we're at this point. And the Democrats take absolutely no responsibility for this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one angle. I mean, I've seen that clip before. And the first thing that I noticed, I mean, it's a comedy bit. And it is pretty funny. You know, he's a decent comedian. So it is with a grain of salt. You know, he's doing comedy. It's not real life and things like that. But they want us dead. I think it's in a lot of cases. I don't know if this guy in particular fits that narrative. But when you hear people talk about MAGA Republicans, when you hear people talk about conservatives, when you hear people talk about people who didn't get the vaccine and things like this, they want us dead. And they don't hide it very often, you know? Like, the laughing, like, cheering, oh, yeah, blow up the NRA guys! Woohoo! They're so dumb! Those dumb hillbillies and their guns, they should all die! We should blow them up with drones, you know? And that's one angle. And then the other angle is, it kind of showcases like the disparity of the Second Amendment, actually, which is, you know, not as it was intended when it was written. When it was written, the Second Amendment was intended so that civilians would have the same weaponry as the government, and there was no standing army at the time. We had militias where private citizens could have cannons on their fishing ships, and then the state says, hey, the British are coming. And you go with your private weapons and you fight for your state or for your country. We didn't have a standing army. Yeah. So if the founders, you know, saw this, they'd be like, wait a second. There's a government-controlled military that has drones with missiles on it that they could just unleash on the people whenever they want. That's not okay.
Well, I think the founders would roll over in their graves about a lot of things that are happening in America right now, and that is certainly one of it. And, you know, and Americans are getting sick of it. And, you know, Jason Aldean has that song, Try That in a Small Town. You know, try your smash and grabs and your mass shootings in a small town, and I don't think you'd do too well. And there's a new song that's out that's getting a lot of play. We played it on KFKF. It last week it was the most downloaded song in America. I haven't seen the chart yet for this week. The young man's name is Oliver Anthony. And boy, the left has their hair on fire about this guy. And, you know, KFKF listeners and conservatives everywhere are like, yeah, this guy actually gets it. I'm not sure how much of the song we want to play. And there is a language issue in it, which we bleeped on the radio station. We don't have to do it here on the podcast. Just letting you know there's some language in it. If you've not heard this, this is Oliver Anthony's Rich Men North of Richmond.
I've been selling my soul, working all day.
I think everyone's pretty much heard this at this point.
Bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me. People like you wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new. With an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end.
Love the touch of the dogs in there.
Yeah, so we could get out of that, but you've heard the song. You can find it if you haven't heard it. It's really easy to find Rich Men North of Richmond from Oliver Anthony, which expresses the way a lot of Americans are feeling right now. I mean, there's one verse in there about, you know, you weigh 400 pounds and you're getting a handout from the government.
Right.
You know, get off your ass.
Fudge rounds or something like that, something about fudge rounds.
I don't think you should say fudge on the podcast. I'm a little worried about that.
We'll bleep it out.
Okay, fine. You know, and I saw somebody sent me a meme, and I put it up on the Facebook page about fossil fuels, and it's like about all the old people that are running things and have been running things because they're part of the political class, Republicans and Democrats, by the way. Let's get rid of the fossils and keep the fuel. I really love that.
Yeah.
All right, Royal Roofing and Solar. Austin Watterson's company that did the roof on my house would love to do the roof on your house. In fact, Mike Dale from Royal Roofing and Solar is going to be a guest next week, and we're going to talk about what Evergy is doing to rates. And they're not alone. The gas company is right behind them. So whatever you're paying to cool your house on hot weather days, you're going to be paying to heat your house on hot weather days. And a new roof, especially if it's got solar on top, can make a huge difference. You can become your own utility, and they'll show you how that's done. 816-540-7057. 816-540-7057. They've got tax credits, grants for small and rural business, ag producers as well, and they're just awesome people. A family that's been doing this for a long time there in Cass County. And anytime we get a hailstorm that blows through, all the fly-by-night people come out of the woodwork. Trust me, Austin and his family have been around for a long time, and they'll be around for a long time, taking care of your roofing and your solar needs as well. Taking care of your health needs is Dr. Mark Terramina. He is with Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You can find them at MidwestGIHealth.com, 816-836-2200. We talk a lot about colonoscopies on this segment with Dr. Terramina, but upper GI is also part of what they do. They do the entire tract from, you know, down your throat to out the other end. And, you know, the first time I had a screening, Kurt, was with the upper GI, mm-hmm. because I had a problem with, it's called GERD, I think is what it's called. It's something to do with acid reflux. And if you get too much acid reflux, you can cause a serious problem. And I've got a high hiatal hernia or whatever, but I had that done first. And then I had the colonoscopy done and a clean bill of health on the other end. And it's really important if you are at least 45 years old to get the colonoscopy done, because colon cancer will kill you. If we catch it early with the screening, you know, maybe you got some polyps or something, they'll test them. Even if it's cancerous, they can fix it in the early stages. You wait until late, and you're seeing more and more examples of this, of people in their 50s who are having colon cancer and they're dying because they didn't catch it early enough. That's what they'll do for you at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. One-stop shopping there in Lee Summit, Missouri, 816-836-2200. Dr. Mark Terramina and his staff would be glad to have you come in and take care of you. Check with your regular doctor. The screenings are covered by insurance. It's very important that you get it done.
I was going to say this about our other sponsor, Medicare Simplified KC, and that goes for them and this. There's a lot of great resources on these websites too. So whether you're curious about Medicare or you know, want to learn more about some GI health concerns, I mean, there's a whole page. If you scroll to the bottom here, there's all these resources that you can look into. So some really great educational stuff on here that's free. You know, you just go to the website and check it out.
Politics American style. We're getting closer and closer to the 2024 presidential election. And as much as the Democrats don't want you to see that Joe Biden is president, this will be a mandate on Joe Biden. It should be anyway. If all is right and fair in the world, America will look at the presidency of Joe Biden and compare it to the presidency of Donald Trump. I'm not talking about the clown show. I'm not talking about all the outlandish things that Donald Trump said. I'm talking about what happened during those 4 years versus what's happened during the Biden administration. I mean, the short list, and maybe, Kurt, maybe you've got something you want to add to it, but I would say Afghanistan, the border, inflation, insane energy policy, crime, and Ukraine. Now, that's six things I can think of that are a hell of a lot worse than they were when Donald Trump was around.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, those are the big ones that most people care about. I mean, people care about the bottom line. People care about being safe in their homes.
You know, when and they lie as easily as they breathe. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about inflation, they say, oh, no, inflation's going down every month. The rate of inflation is going down every month. But guess what? When inflation peaked at like 9% and prices went to here, if you can see me on the video, I'm indicating a high price, right?
Right.
Okay.
He had his hand lower, yeah, and then he moved his hand higher.
So it's up here when inflation was at 9%. Then inflation went to 6%, and then 5%. And then 4%. And now it's at 3%, and I can't go that high. Because what's happening is the price goes on top of that. It's not coming down. Prices are where they are going to be. And the Fed's goal is to get inflation to where it's only going up 2%. Mm-hmm. It's still going up, right, from that high level. So what are we going to do to turn that around? Can it be turned around? I don't even know if it can be at this point.
Yeah, it'd be pretty difficult. Inflation is a hard thing to stop. The best deterrent for that, really, because the government's not going to stop spending money. They're not, the Federal Reserve is not going to stop printing money and doing what it does. So the best thing that you can do is just, you know, increase your revenue, really. I mean, you have to try and work hard and get yourself a raise and put some money away, buy gold and silver.
Get a job at UPS.
Yeah, get a job at UPS. There you go.
Brown's paying $170,000+ a year just, yeah, to be a driver. I don't know how they can sustain that. We'll see. And then, of course, you got Maui burning. And Joey was on vacation there in Rhode Island. No, Delaware. I get those confused. He was in Delaware.
Rehoboth,
his,
yeah.
His beach house, his multi-million-dollar beach house that everybody who makes $160,000 a year as a career can afford, a multi-million-dollar beach house.
Yep.
And they ask him about it, and he's, he'll come in. You have a video on that?
Yep.
Oh, no, coming. He gives a big old bright smile, too. Now, some are saying, well, he didn't hear the question. Well, he won't go any closer to the reporters because, God forbid, they ask him a question and he has to answer it.
Honestly, you know, people are reading this a certain way. I mean, the most cynical read of it that a lot of people on the right are making is that, well, he just doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care about Maui. I legitimately just think that this guy is just totally off
out of
the reservation.
I'm,
I mean,
with
he,
you.
He is totally mentally decayed beyond repair.
Yep.
And they're propping him up with sticks. They have mouthpieces speaking for him.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this last week. I think Karine Jean-Pierre, her Twitter account, posted a tweet that was supposed to be on the president's Twitter account. It was like, as president, I have lower, you know, done this and this and that, and it was posted to Karine Jean-Pierre's Twitter account.
Yeah.
So he's clearly not in control of anything. I think he just, I think he heard the question and maybe didn't process it, yeah, or just had no idea what was going on. Because you see, I paused it right here. I mean, look at the blank stare on his face.
Oh, yeah, he's got a blank stare.
He has no idea what's going on, and he just says no comment because he doesn't want to get himself in trouble if he opens his mouth. You know, he opens his mouth and he says something even dumber than no comment, so he just says no comment and gets in the car. That's my read of it.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. And he did come out and say something later, which he read off a teleprompter.
Right.
And here's a note to the White House. Get him a bigger font, because it is painful to watch him try and read off the teleprompter as he squints. He could never put a sentence together anyway, even, you know, before his mental decay. But now it's so painful to watch.
Yeah, and stop typing in the instructions into the teleprompter.
End of sentence. Yeah.
There was one. I'll see if I can find it really quick. Yeah, here it is. There was one just the other day. At the end, he said, politely ask the press to leave. Here it is.
Politely ask the press to leave. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for coming.
It's like a question mark, too.
Ask the press to leave. Thank you for coming in.
We're going to reelect this guy for four more years in 2024? In what world is that possible?
Yeah, and the lack of awareness by some Democrats is astounding. Like, I saw people on Twitter, and I'm not going to dig this up, but I saw people on Twitter, there was a Truth Social video that Trump put out. And I guess he's like, maybe seems a little out of it or something. Like, he's still totally coherent, but he's, you know, maybe the energy level is not quite where it normally is. And there's all these Democrats and liberals on Twitter retweeting the video like, his health is declining. Look at his mental health. He's swaying back and forth. He can't even speak a straight sentence. Like, look at your freaking president.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
And then, you know, policy-wise, beyond all this, there is the, and some people are comparing these two things, and I think I know how you feel about what's going on in Ukraine. They're going to give $700 per person to people in Hawaii for aid when Lahaina has been destroyed, and there's still almost 1,000 people that are unaccounted for there. Yet, we are going to go back on something that we said we would not do, and now we are going to do it. We are going to send
sending F-16s to Ukraine.
We're going to send, well, he stole my line. We're going to send American-made F-16 fighter jets over to Ukraine. So our F-16s, not our pilots, but our planes will be in combat with Russians.
Yeah. And then who knows where they're going to end up. You know, that's the thing that happens with this.
And I mean, billions and billions in aid.
Yeah. Why don't we give F-16s to the Hawaiians? Can we do that?
What would they do with them? I don't have any idea. I just don't know where this whole thing is going to go. And I know that there are Republicans who, like Lindsey Graham is one, for instance, who think this is really important. This is the front line on the next war that's going on here.
Disgrace.
And again, it's that old mentality of, well, we better fight them there because we don't want to fight them here.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get them into NATO countries, so we got to fight them there.
I mean, it's a trope. And people rehash this line all the time, but Eisenhower had his finger on the pulse when he said, beware of the military-industrial complex. We're seeing it more active than ever.
And you really want to talk to somebody who knows about stuff, talk to a general like Dwight Eisenhower, who was in World War II and understood what was going on, and then he became a politician. He was less likely to use American military force.
Yeah.
And then you got guys like, you know, Joe Biden, who did he ever do anything on a military level? I don't think he did, who will willy-nilly send stuff to and fro.
I mean, Joe Biden couldn't even tell you what an F-16 is. He couldn't point one out. If you had a picture of five fighter jets and said, which one is the F-16, he would not be able to tell you. I guarantee
he's running for president. You know, he got more votes last time than anybody in the history of this country. Yep.
Totally legitimate, totally believable.
You better say that, because if not, the IRS will come looking at you. You know, that could happen.
I believe it. Yeah. It's 100%.
So speaking of that, Donald Trump indicted again. We predicted it would happen. He predicted it would happen. He was indicted in Georgia. I think he's up to like, if he were found guilty on every charge and got the max, I think he's up to like 800 years in prison.
Can I play the bumper?
Yeah, sure.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Love his dance.
Why won't people treat me more like Hitler?
Like 90% of what he says, I'm like, this guy gets it.
He's just a gross, crook, dirty, rotten, lying sack of
the racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Breaking news. Orange man bad.
Orange man bad.
Orange man.
Orange man.
Yeah, well, they may end up locking him up. I mean, that may happen. And Hillary Clinton was on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow, and Rachel Maddow says, the world wants to know what Hillary Clinton is thinking.
Everyone wants to know. Let's
roll
it.
This evening, but all expectations are that he will be. Do you feel satisfaction in that? You warned the country essentially that he was going to try to end democracy, but the most of the country didn't believe him.
Well, it's hard to believe. I don't feel any satisfaction. I feel great, just great, profound sadness that we have a former president who has been indicted for so many charges that went right to the heart of whether or not our democracy would survive. And we don't know yet what the charges coming out of Georgia are, but if you stop and think about what the public evidence is, and you've been talking about some of that for the last hour, he set out to defraud the United States of America and the citizens of our nation. He used tactics of harassment, intimidation. He
this
made threats,
rich,
he and his allies, went after
so
state officials, local officials responsible for conducting elections. Now we know they even went into voting machines in order to, determine whether or not those voting machines had somehow been breached when they were the ones actually doing the breaching.
She had proof of that? That yeah. that might be an actionable thing right there.
Hillary Clinton, pure as the driven snow. She's never done anything wrong. She's never created fake oppo research with foreign intelligence to, you know, delegitimize the opposing candidate. Yeah. She's never colluded with the administration to spy on his campaign. She's never had a private server in her house, which she destroyed with hammers. No, she would never do that.
Not Hillary.
And also, you know, she's never, ever questioned an election because she values our sacred democracy. Let's watch.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
This is 24 minutes long, by the way.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's
the real
thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Vice presidential.
I absolutely agree.
That's back when he could put a sentence together.
In 2016, he lost the election. And he was put into office because the Russians interfered.
Oh, gee, many Christmas.
Interfered with our election, attacked our democracy for the sole purpose.
You know, maybe this is racist. I thought that was Cory Booker for a second.
I thought it was too. I was waiting for him to say Spartacus.
It does kind of look like him, though, right?
It does.
I mean, you know, it's close.
Of artificially placing someone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They were successful.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference.
I mean, this goes on for over 20 minutes.
Yeah. So really,
there you have it.
You know, when we started this podcast, one of the things we were going to take care of, or at least address, was hypocrisy. And that is blatant and rich hypocrisy. So Trump, you know, he may end up going to jail. I'm not sure. They are so terrified of this man that they want to put him in jail. And yet, if you take Trump off the board and it becomes issue, their guy loses. I can't imagine him winning one state. He might even lose California if you looked at the issues.
Yeah. And, you know, it goes back to, like, people will say that Trump can't win in a general election. And I just don't believe that. I mean, if that was true, why would they be going after him like this? You know, and we have new polling that's come out, trust polls or not, up to you. But, you know, he's leading among independents over Joe Biden by a large margin. So I think he's really a threat, and that's why they want to, you know, throw him in jail.
Here's what I would say, a couple of things on this. One thing I believe to my core is they're like raptors in the movie Jurassic Park. They are testing the fences, okay? Do not think that this is only Donald Trump. If they take him off the board and take him in an orange jumpsuit to a jail somewhere, trust me, this will be their MO moving forward. And they will dig into everyone on the right and find whatever they trumped up thing they can, pardon the pun on that. They'll find a friendly prosecutor. By the way, the Fulton County prosecutor, why don't you prosecute actual criminals? What are you doing to get violence off the street in the Atlanta area? Yeah. You're going after this ridiculous thing? Okay, that's what you voted for in the Atlanta area. That's your prosecutor. So that's what they're going to do. This is going to be their MO going forward. The other thing I would say is the conservative message that we talk about, the common sense things that we talk about, the things that the left say, oh, man, you guys are a bunch of Hitlers here. These are common sense things that we are talking about here. All right? These aren't radical things. And the conservative movement, which really, if you think about it, started with Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater ran for president, and LBJ ran this commercial that basically was a nuclear bomb going off that scared the hell out of the country, that said, hey, if this guy gets in here, your children are going to die in a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
And LBJ won. Ronald Reagan took Goldwater's message, and he was a very successful two-term president. The conservative message will survive Donald Trump. It'll survive me. It'll survive Kurt, because these common sense things that we're talking about will survive. And I'll tell you, Donald Trump's not going to be on that stage Wednesday night. Our podcast will debut on Wednesday morning. He's not going to be on the stage on Wednesday night. Anybody on that stage would do a 100 million times better job than what we have in the White House today. And the Democrats who are running him. Because he's not running anything. They would do a much better job. Even Vivek Ramaswamy. I like this guy. And let me back up a second here. Because we were talking about Hillary Clinton. I put that thing up. You missed the cackle on that clip.
Oh,
The cackle was the beginning of it. So I put the cackle thing up there. And one of my friends on Facebook said, is she even relevant? And your friend Kreisberg's, you know, he got on there and says, no, she's not relevant. She only owns space in Dale's mind. I don't even know what the hell that means. She was on a major network.
Yeah.
major network, quote unquote. And they said the world wanted to know what the person who won in 2016 really thought.
Yeah. The establishment seems to think she's relevant. Yeah. They keep asking her all these questions. They keep bringing her on TV.
So
she runs one of the biggest, quote unquote, nonprofit, you know, charity organizations in the world. So, I mean, yeah, I think she's probably pretty relevant.
And if anybody gave a shit what Kreisberg's thinks, you know, I've already blocked him on my personal Facebook thing because he's one of those typical keyboard warriors who wants to go blah, 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 blah. And then when you go, hey, would you like to have a back and forth like adults? Ew. I don't think anybody wants to know my opinion, yet he's always on the Facebook thing. I put up something about Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's like, well, he's more progressive than conservatives think. Because guess what, guys? He's a threat now. He's a young, articulate conservative who can put it into words. And the Ten Commandments he put up, I put those up on the Facebook page as well. Again, they're common sense. They're common sense. And the first one, which will make their heads explode on the left, God is real. They can't have that, right?
Yep. Should I read through all of them?
Never mind the fact that In God We Trust is on our money. It's above the speaker's podium in the House of Representatives.
It's in the Pledge of Allegiance.
It was added to the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh. And George Washington added to the presidential oath of office, so help me God, which is not in the Constitution, but now is there by tradition because George Washington added it in, you know, so help me God. So God is real. Yeah, go ahead and go through the rest of them.
So this is from Vivek, the Ten Commandments of his 2024 campaign. Number one, God is real. Number two, there are two genders.
By the way, let me stop you on that one.
Yep.
Did you hear what Joe Biden said when they asked him how many genders there were?
No.
This is a true story. He said three. So three is not the right answer. Three. So it's either two, like you and I and Vivek believe, or what Biden's
like
people
billion.
Believe. It's like, yeah, it's like as many as you can list. I mean, as many as you can even think up and dream up. So three is not the right answer. I think two.
I haven't seen that.
I think two is the right answer, and I don't think a billion is the right answer.
Three. I like that answer. Honestly, that's really funny because you know they're supposed to. You're supposed to say, oh well, it's on a spectrum. You know, you can say whatever. He's just like three. What's the third one? Oh God, that's good.
What's the third commandment?
Number three, human flourishing requires fossil fuels.
Duh.
Number four, reverse racism is racism.
Ding.
Number five, an open border is no border. Number six, parents determine the education of their children. Number seven, the nuclear family is the greatest form of governance known to mankind. Number eight, capitalism lifts people up from poverty. Number nine, there are three branches of the U.S. government, not four.
Let me stop you on that one because what he's talking about there is the executive branch's agencies, which have formed a fourth branch of government who have assumed a lot of power that they don't have, and the Supreme Court has been trying to pull that back. Republicans in the House have been trying to pull that back. We need a strong president who would actually go in there and do that.
Right. And number 10, the U.S. Constitution is the strongest guarantor of freedoms in history.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good.
I mean, you know, and so now the lefties out there are saying, oh, no, Vivek, he's not what you think he is. He's much more progressive than you think he is. I don't know. Maybe it's time again for somebody to come in from the outside who has not been a governor, has not been a senator, has not been part of the fossil class in Washington, D.C., from either party.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. Just to play devil's advocate, it is true from what I've seen. I haven't looked into it very much, but apparently Vivek was a little bit softer on some issues relating to COVID, you know, was maybe a little bit more supportive of lockdowns and vaccine mandates and things like that. I don't know that 100%. I've just seen people saying that. But, you know, I think it's not that it's not important, but it's more important, like, who's going to be effective, you know, because, like,
I
mean, Donald Trump, for example, has donated to Democrats his entire life. He's been friends with Democrats. He's kind of been in that ilk, but he's been a very effective leader in the conservative movement. the most effective leader we've had in you know, maybe 100 years, or at least since Reagan. And so I think it's more important, like, okay, who's going to be effective moving forward? What is the message moving forward? It'd be one thing, you know, if he was like some hardcore socialist and then like all of a sudden he's tried to flip and, you know, pretend that he's a conservative or something like that. I don't think that's really the case. I think it's, you know, things are complicated. People's positions kind of evolve over time, and we should give a little bit of grace on that.
I don't think he's going to be the nominee, but I'm interested to see him on the debate stage, because he will be on the debate stage. If the Missouri primary were held today, I would still vote for Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis is the guy who would bring what Trump brought, who ran Florida, and I'll take Florida over California 7 days out of seven. That's kind of where I'm leaning. But again, the point I would make is anyone on that debate stage Wednesday and Donald Trump, who will not be on that debate stage, would be a far better president than what we have, a far better administration for moving this country forward. So I will vote. I'll take the pledge that Donald Trump wouldn't take. I'll support the nominee of the Republican Party, because I think that they are 100% better than what we have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Vivek would have a real shot, honestly. At least would be a solid number two.
He would, definitely.
You know, his name recognition and things kind of put him at a disadvantage. You know, like, spell Ramaswamy without looking at it.
Well, I am looking at it.
But nobody can spell his name or say it. So,
you know what? I'll see it on a ballot and I can recognize it.
That's true.
If he's
That's
in that true. Second position or the first position. Yeah. So we'll watch what happens. But again, you know, contrast it with what we have in there now. Contrast it to a squinty-eyed Joe Biden really trying his hardest to read that teleprompter, and trying to stay away from reporters, staying out of ears' reach so he can go, he'll come in. So, anyway, that's to come, and we'll keep an eye on that. Clay Como Shooters, they are the newest sponsor of Dale Carter's America, and we are going to make a field trip to Clay Como Shooters, right?
Yep, this week.
All right. So what's that going to look like when we go up to Clay Como Shooters?
Well, I think the idea is we'll kind of, you know, check out the store, talk to Herb, and maybe try out some different firearms, you know, kind of see what piques your interest. And because my angle is like, you're a Second Amendment supporter, but you're not really a gun guy. So I think it would be funny to see like what knowledge you have of different types of firearms and things like that. But maybe we'll do a little bit of shooting too. And maybe, you know, something will pique your interest. You never know.
Well, what do I need to know about a gun other than, you know, it's like, it's got a trigger and I see bad guy, I pull trigger.
Well, yeah, but I mean, different firearms serve different purposes, right? I mean, a pump action 12-gauge shotgun, like a short barreled shotgun, serves a different purpose than a 308 rifle bolt action with a scope on it. Serves a different purpose than an AR-15. Serves a different purpose than a 357 Magnum revolver. Serves a different purpose than a full-size 9mm, you know? So it just depends on your comfort level, what caliber you like, what you're going to use it for, all those kind of things.
Well, Clay Como Shooters will train police agencies. They do train police agencies. They'll train people like me who are interested in a firearm for self-defense, because maybe they go into areas, I don't know, name a place, Westport at 3 o'clock in the morning, weekdays. And, you know, you want to feel like you've got a little bit of comfort under you. Clay Como Shooters is in Clay Como. And you've got their website pulled up. What's the website?
ClayComoShooters.com.
See, nice and easy. Nice and easy. Clay Como, if you can spell that, ClayComoShooters.com. And Kurt is scrolling through their website there. You can see all the different things that they do, all the different brands that they have. That's the best way to find out about them, is to get on the website. But if you are thinking about personal protection for yourself, your loved ones, Clay Como Shooters is the place to start.
Absolutely.
All right. And again, we thank Bob Watson, who is with us. He's your insurance guy. He's my insurance guy. I'm wearing the colors today for Bob Watson, 816-229-7878. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, auto, home, life, commercial insurance, even those boats. I mean, with it being as hot as it is, maybe you're on a boat. Maybe you're in the water somewhere. Licensed in Missouri and Kansas. Ask Bob about a great rate, because there's surprisingly great rates right now at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is always there. Now, as we leave you today, we leave you with this. You know, I have always believed this to be true, and now we're seeing more and more evidence of it, that this whole woke culture, the you're a racist, it doesn't come out of the people that you would think it comes out of. And as evidence of that, we're going to talk about Native Americans right now. There is a – because in my opinion – now, you know, you could probably find arguments on both sides. In my opinion – what took down the Washington Redskins' name was not Native Americans, because Native Americans, in poll after poll, said they had no problem with it. And they would go back to the point where the team was founded to honor Native Americans.
Yeah.
They had a Native American coach. That's why they were called the Redskins, because it was not a term. It wasn't a slander. It was a term of endearment. Okay, so this group of Native Americans, they're known as Native American Guardians Association. They have over 100,000 signatures now, and they've given them to the Washington Football Club. Now under new ownership, Daniel Snyder, the bad guy, is out, and they want Redskins restored.
That's amazing.
And they're not done. They're going after the Cleveland Guardians, too. Because that group, you know, white liberals, is basically who is causing more trouble in this country than anybody else. White liberals. They're the ones who said, okay, well, now we got that one. What's the next one? Because they've got their list. Did you really think Redskins was going to be the last thing on the list?
No.
Not even close.
Well, it's ironic because it's white liberals whitewashing Native American history out of existence.
Taking them out of existence.
It's like the Land O'Lakes meme that I know I've shown before, but they took out the female Native American off the Land O'Lakes box. So they got rid of the Indian and they kept the land on the box.
Which is exactly what happened, you know? That's why we need to take down those Andrew Jackson statues downtown,
yeah.
No matter what the voters think. Okay, so NAGA, as they're known, Native American Guardians Association, now they have gone after the Cleveland baseball team that bent the knee and went from the Indians to the Guardians, basically named after a gargoyle on a statue that's close to the ballpark. And they want a Bud Light-like boycott of the Cleveland Major League Baseball team until they restore Indians as the name. So I'm a guy, Kurt, who never throws anything away. So as we leave you on this episode of Dale Carter's America, one of my favorite football cheering songs, unless they're playing the Chiefs, then all bets are off. But you may recall that back in the day when they were the Redskins, and they had, remember they had the big fat guys in the crowd wearing the hog noses?
Yep.
There were the hogs and the hogettes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was also politically incorrect. But you know what? Sometimes politically incorrect is okay. You know, we can laugh at stuff. Hail to the Redskins. I hope you get this done. I'll be cheering for you. And I kept my Redskins mini helmet in my collection for when it needs to go back into the trophy case as the official helmet of the Washington Redskins. Roll it. That's about all you need out of that.
Yeah.
But it's a great song, and we still play it on KFKF occasionally, except when the Chiefs are playing the Redskins in the politically incorrect bowl, as we used to make fun of it. But now they're the Commanders. Who gives a shit about that, right?
Nobody.
The Commanders? At least it's better than the football team,
yeah,
which they were for a little while. All right. Until next week, there's a lot more to talk about, and we'll cover it all on Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.